The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
Good morning. Thanks y'all so very much for sacrificing your Tuesday and being with us. It's just such an awesome privilege to get a chance just to see you and to rub shoulders with you. And I just thank you from the Baptist State Convention. We just appreciate your ministry, and we just want to partner with you and just be a part of what you're doing in any way, shape, or form. So just use us. We work for you. And so just we delight in the opportunity of getting to know you better, helping you along in whatever aspects in your ministry that you need. Here's what we're going to be talking about this morning, D6 parenting in a very busy world that we live in. And you know that you've got some busy homes, busy families in your congregation, but if I had to guess, your home and your family might be a little bit into this idea as well. And so let's kind of maybe walk through a little bit of some text of God's Word and just really see what He has to say about this whole idea. Let me first introduce to you my family. You see me in the purple shirt back here in the back, and that's my beautiful bride of almost 31 years, Sherry. We were high school sweethearts. We got married. Come on in, brother. And we had two children. Here is our son right there. His name is Adam. He's in the world's greatest Air Force. He is stationed out in Nebraska. And matter of fact, this coming fall, he will be moving into our area code again. So we're just looking forward to him coming back and being a part of the East Coast. That's his bride of almost 4 years, Ashlyn. And when she married into our family, she became my daughter. Already had a daughter. That's her right there. That's our daughter, Abby, and her husband right beside her, Justice. They've been married also 4 years. And that's about right. They both got married in the same summer, and we had a crazy time of year, let me tell you. And you see, this picture was taken back in October, and you see she's sort of holding her belly just a little different way. Ladies, you probably know what that might be indicating. Right now, today, she is 8.91 months pregnant. And she is actually going to be delivering this week, we think, our very first grandchild. And so we are super pumped and super excited about that. But you're probably wondering, what about these other two little people here? This is Cassidy, and this is her little brother, Bentley. And they are our daughter and her husband's foster children. And so we got a chance to kind of be grandparents even before we get to be a grandparent. And we're just delighted that God allowed this opportunity into our lives. And so our daughter and her husband, who is also my son, because I take the responsibility of being their disciple makers, disciple leaders, because I want them to be disciple makers in their home and then in their community. And so my goal is to still pour into these people. Now, it's changed a lot because they don't live at my house anymore, but nonetheless, God still has me in their life, and so I want to take full advantage of that privilege and opportunity. Here's a question I want you to think about just for a second. What is mandatory to be a good mom? What's mandatory to be a good dad? Just think about that. Come on over here, Steve. There's a couple right here on the front row. I spit. Be careful. Think about that question just for a second. Okay? Share with your neighbor what your first reaction was to this question. Go ahead, real quick. Okay, I heard something good right here. So tell me what was said.
Well, you said off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
Well, I said don't hurt them.
Don't hurt them. All right, that would definitely fall into that category. What's another something that somebody thought of?
Discipline.
Discipline. Okay, sure, absolutely. I got another question for you. Where do you look for parenting advice? Think about that for a second. Share it with your neighbor real fast. Go ahead. Okay. Got it? Yeah. What were some of the things that were thought of? Where do you get parenting advice?
Your own parents.
Parents, sure. Absolutely.
Friends.
Friends, definitely. I heard internet, somebody said. yeah, that happens, sure. What else? Anything else? Scripture, absolutely. Yes. Matter of fact, here's what Lifeway discovered. Now, notice what it says. It says they polled Americans looking for parenting advice. So they're very well could be some people who are non-Christians in this survey. I don't really know the breakdown, but notice where some of these things fell out. You know, their own experience growing up, their parents, you know, some of these things were already mentioned. But I'm curious to just kind of point out, I just want to be very blunt about this. Notice where these two things, the church and the sacred text, notice where these two things fall into the lineup. And so let me ask you a question. If you were to go to the sacred text, if you were to go to God's Word, what verses in Scripture would you maybe tell me would be to help you in parenting? What does God's Word have to say about it? Anything?
Yeah.
Well, give me a verse, a passage. I'm sorry?
Ephesians 6:1.
That's right. It'd be better. Yeah, that's Ephesians 6:4. That's right. Yeah, Proverbs 22:6. Absolutely. What's another?
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Correction. Yeah. What else? Deuteronomy 6. Oh, man after my own heart. That's right. Because to me, this is probably one of the most important. Matter of fact, this is the first place that you find parenting advice in all of Scripture. Now, you might could make a little bit of argument in Leviticus, but I really think this is really where it gets mostly fleshed out for the very first time. And do we know the background? We know the story behind that because Deuteronomy 6 comes in Moses preaching to the children of Israel. Remember what they'd just been doing for the last 40 years? They were being led in the desert by the Lord. What was right before that 40 years? They were slaves in Egypt. And as slaves in Egypt, God rescued them. Moses was the one who allowed them, you know, to lead them out of the oppression, out of slavery. He led them down to Mount Sinai, and we get to there. This is where the Ten Commandments were delivered, and so God had a wedding with His people. And of course, there was sin in the camp, and we know what happened with that. That's what made them have to linger into that time of wandering, as we mentioned, as being led through the desert. But here they are, though. They're right there at the threshold of the promised land, the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these were the people of that family. And here they were getting ready to walk into this place, a land flowing with milk and honey, place of houses they didn't build, of vineyards they didn't plant. I mean, God was giving them some prime real estate. But Moses didn't get to go in. But Moses was setting the table. Moses was setting them up for success. And he did it, as we talked about, with Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll drill down into that passage in just a moment. But as you know, Moses didn't get a chance to go into the promised land. Who led him?
Joshua.
Matter of fact, Joshua 1:3, God tells Joshua, "Hey man, everywhere you put your foot, that place is yours. So if you don't put your foot there, it's not yours. So everywhere you put your foot, I'm giving you this land." And Joshua was faithful. They had a little bit of bumps in the road, you know, Achans and all that stuff. But nonetheless, they conquered the promised land. Now, did they totally rid the land of all the enemy? Well, no, they didn't. There were still pockets of the enemy, you know, the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, and all the Chigorbites, right? But they had conquered the land. And along about Joshua chapter 24, Joshua makes this statement, "As for me and my house, it will serve the Lord." He was drawing a line in the sand, saying, "Hey, look, guys, me and my house, we are going to be what God desires for us to be." But do you know what he said in verse 14? You know why he had to say verse 15? Because verse 14, he tells the people, "Throw away your little g gods." There had been some exception to what God's standards was. There had been some compromise. God's word had not been followed just as God had told them to. And so that's why we get, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And what does Joshua and all his contemporaries do? They stack their hands on top of Joshua and say, "Yeah, man, we're with you. We're going to do this too." And the book of Joshua ends, and you turn a page into the very next book, which is the book of Judges. And one of the saddest verses that I see in the book of Judges comes in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And that verse simply goes like this. "After a whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up." Talking about Joshua and all the people who had their hand stacked on his. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord or what he'd done in Israel. Now, how in the world could that have happened? How could they have not known the Lord or what he'd done in Israel? Now, there could be a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons of what I think is they didn't follow this passage. This is called the Shema. You got one of the cards, that larger card in your hand. I'd like for you to follow along with me because I'd like for you to just let me drill down with you because the parents that you minister to in your church, they need to know the Shema. They need to know it as well or better than you do. Matter of fact, we all need to follow what this word says. This is God's word. But as we know, we call this the Shema. And literally the word Shema means to listen. Listen, listen up. I got something to tell you. But you know what it also has the implication of? It means to obey. I think we got a couple chairs right over here, bro. It literally means listen and obey, following God's word. And he says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One. Now, the people of the Hebrew people, the Eastern mindset, let's make sure we kind of define some terms just for a moment. They are very visual in their thinking. They're what we would call very concrete thinkers. Children are concrete thinkers. We, as far as Westerners, we're a little more on the abstract side. And here, let me kind of prove my point. Fill in this blank. God is blank. Got it? God is love. God is good. God is holy. And you know what? That's absolutely, he is. And he's that and much, much more. But if I were to ask a group of Western mindset people, these ancient Hebrews, that very same question, they'd probably come up with some of the same things you just said. But you know what else they'd say? God is my rock. God is my fortress. God's my strong tower. God is my refuge. God is my shepherd. What's the difference in what you said and versus what they said? Concrete versus abstract. Because can you touch love? Can you touch holy, but can you touch a rock? So that's their visual mindset coming out. Whenever they think about who God is, that's more where they start to lean in their understanding. And so when we read His Word, we need to lean into that understanding as well. Because of this visualness, notice this, he says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Did God in the last 40 years show that He was really the only God? Yes, He did. Down in Egypt, didn't he? He showed that there was absolutely no other God except for him. And he showed that not only to the Israelites, he showed that to the Egyptians as well. And then notice what he goes on to say in verse 5. Love. Love God. This is the first place that we see this phrase of loving God in Scripture. And this word is literally the word ahav. And if we were to translate this Hebrew word into a Greek word, you know what it is? Y'all know what that word is? What does that word mean? Unconditional love. So what is the Scripture telling us to do? Love God how? Does He love us unconditionally? Yes, He does. And I'm so glad for that grace and that mercy. And how does He say to love Him? Love Him with what?
All your heart.
All your heart. With all your soul. With all your strength. Now, we could drill down into that for a while, but for the sake of time, let's just kind of summarize it and say, love Him with what? Everything you got. There's a ton we could talk about that. And your parents need to understand that. But you love Him with everything you got. And then notice what it says in verse 6. These commands that I give you today, they're to be upon your hearts. You know, the heart, yeah, definitely, we think of emotion, we think of our mind in this. And so this whole idea of our heart being in mind needs to be connected right to that word command, because in order for us to follow God's command, we've got to know it. Your heart can't love what your mind doesn't know. So we've got to be students of God's word so that our heart can love who this awesome God is. So there's a connection with these words. And then he goes in to say this in verse 7. You see this first word? Impress. That word in the Hebrew is the word shenan. Write that word down for me, shenan. Can you say that word for me? Shenan. Very good. Now this is only illustration, bro. Calm down, you're good. All right. But what this word literally means is to teach, to sharpen. to sharpen. Now think about it from this perspective. If I'm going to sharpen this blade and I just kind of randomly do this, how well is it going to get sharp?
Nope.
It ain't happening. However, the way Moses uses this verb, remember these people are picture people. He uses it in such a way to help them understand that this is to impress means to teach, to sharpen, to be intentional, and to be repetitive. To be intentional, to be repetitive. Because if I'm going to sharpen this blade, do I have to be intentional with how I hold this blade and how I hold this file? Well, I sure do. Because I've got to get this angle right, don't I? So I've got to be intentional with this. Do I just do it one time and it's sharp?
No.
I've got to do it repeatedly. So literally, put this in your video camera here. This is what Moses was saying to these people. Sharpen your kids repeatedly, intentionally, repeatedly, intentionally. Because there's a battle that they're going to be facing whenever they leave out of your house. And so Moses was really trying to help them see that this is key in order for them to learn the very things that are on your heart. To learn the very love that you have for this incredible God. Because what it says, impress them, what's the them? What's what God has been speaking to you?
Yes.
Teach them, impress them on your children. Notice what, back up here for a second. Who's he talking to when he says, Hear, O Israel? He's talking to a whole bunch, isn't he? He's talking to a whole group. Million plus, who knows how many people it was. Now who's he talking to in this part of the verse? He's talking directly to parents. Now, in our day, in our world, this is just me. I put a / grandparents. Because that's the world we live in. So parents need to be intentional and repetitive with what God has spoken into their heart. And they need to intentionally and repeatedly share that, teach that into their children's lives. Because God is the one who brought these children into their lives. So therefore, he thinks very highly of these parents to say, you're capable. And I'm going to resource you. I'm going to give you the Holy, if they're followers of Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and all the Holy Spirit you will ever need. Because I know that you can teach these children. You can be a disciple maker and produce godly people right there in your home.
And so, you're supposed to.
That's because, well, it says it right there, isn't it? Right there is what it says. And so a lot of times when I'm at churches and I get a chance to talk to a group of parents and I'm talking with them and I'm just kind of helping them sort of drill down into this passage a little deeper than kind of what we're doing. The first thing that they'll ask is, okay, well, how do I do it? And I say, well, circle this word. You talk to them. Because are our words important? Are they powerful? Are words powerful? Well, God spoke the whole everything we see by using what? By using words. What we have God's revelation bound up in a book full of words. Matter of fact, words are important and powerful in our own lives. If you ever stood at an altar with a young lady there by your side, almost 31 years ago for me, were my words powerful? Because I said, I do. I said, I accept a job. I've said that a few times. Our words direct our lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So our words have power. And so don't underestimate the power of your words. They've got to be based on this stuff up here. And you have to be intentional and repetitive with them. So talk to them. That's what I tell parents. Talk with your kids. Talk about them. Okay, and then say, when? When do I do that? Okay, well, number one, when you sit at home. That's mean, you know, that could be while you have a meal together, while you're just sitting out on the back porch. I mean, just however, whatever that looks like at your house. And I'll get a group of the parents and they're nodding their head. Okay, yeah, I get that. But then there's the other half. They're like, we're never at home. Y'all got any parents like that? And I say, you know what? God saw you coming. Because look at the next thing he says. Let me contextualize this. When you're riding in the mom van, when you go down the road, however that looks, you've got time. The question is, are you being intentional and are you being repetitive with it? That's just really the question. When you sit at home, when you go down the road, are you bringing up God whenever you got the kid in the passenger seat beside you? Yeah, sometimes you got to get earbuds out. Of course, I get that. You got to get them off their cell phones. Yep, I get that. But are you being intentional and repetitive? There's other times that God's built into the day. Look at this. When you lie down, bedtime. That was when our family, when my two children lived at our house, that was our time. And our goal every week was to hit it 7 days a week. But we were probably very, very few times did we ever hit it 7 days a week. But that was the goal. But I'd say we were probably pretty heavy 4 to 5, probably even 6 times a week. Piling up on somebody's bed, I'd go to my bookshelf and I'd pull out all my theological books and I'd preach for an hour. I didn't do that. I'd open up God's Word. I'd open up one of their Bibles, open up God's Word, and I would share a portion of Scripture, and we'd pray. And you know what? Sometimes it was 5 minutes. Sometimes it was longer. That was just our rhythm. This was what we took advantage of. And then there's also when you get up. Some people are morning people. I was the only morning person at my house, so this really didn't happen at my house. But here's the thing. It's always bugged me with this passage, and I'm just going to be transparent and just share this with you. Now, notice how this thing kind of is laid out. If this isn't in a nice, neat list form, how many of y'all are list makers? Okay. How many of y'all are Nazi list makers? Okay, what I mean by Nazi list maker is, okay, you make a list and you're going down your list, but if you do something that is not on your list, you put it on your list. Okay, so you can check it off. I get it. I live with somebody just like that. But here's the thing. This is not a nice little pretty list because typically in my day, I mean, I get up, and then I might go down the road, then sit at home, and then I lie down. Now, sure, 2 and 3 may flip, but nonetheless, this is not the order of my day. And I really think what God is trying to share with this isn't a list. This needs to be a rhythm. This needs to be how we do our day, taking advantage of the moments that He gives us. And so this is really what I want to drill down into for the next about 15 minutes that we have together. I really want you to see what this is all about. In your seat, you had these little cards. Can I borrow that just for a second? You see these right here? Thanks, man. And I'm not going to walk through those, but I am going to point out what they are. Okay? I call these faith talks. That very first one is Our Defender. And that's a simple faith talk that you can take home and use with your children. Or you can pass these off, or you can call me and I can get some for your whole church because we have these available. But this is when you sit at home. It's to have a spiritual conversation. It's to be intentional with having a spiritual conversation if your rhythm is sitting at home. Not everybody's rhythm is sitting at home because they're the ones who are always in the car. Okay, our rhythm at our house was when we lie down. But not everybody's rhythm is the same, and that's okay. Because when you sit at home, you could talk about high-low. I mean, that was something we did at our table. Hey, what was the cool thing that happened today? What was the lowest thing that happened today? What's something that made you laugh today? What's something that made you sad today? Notice these are open-ended questions, not those questions that get the grunts. Okay? So we have to train our parents how to talk to our kids, to their kids. Christmas cards. I love to just kind of challenge families who just, you know, we just got finished with Christmas just a couple months ago. Hey, hang on to those Christmas cards. And before you have your meal, pray for the family. Just pick one and just say, hey, we're going to pray for the Jones family tonight before we eat. Because they thought enough of us to send us a card. We need to pray for them. Dinner prep. You know what? You can be intentional with dinner prep by taking time to just, you know, you got all these ingredients and just share with them. You know what? Our church is made up of all these different parts too. I mean, just being kind of creative with your time that you're with your kid, just to say, hey, look, everything is connected to God. Make a fort. I love to challenge dads to do this because they want to go into the dining room and grab all the tables and get sheets and blankets and, you know, put them over top of them, and you get your flashlight and get your Bible out and bring your kids underneath there. Get permission from mom to make sure you can do all that, but then you know how that works. But you know, and really just share God's word. And says Psalm 19, the you know, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. I mean, anything you can do. Will your kids remember that Bible story? Well, maybe, maybe not. Will they remember that you tried to make devotion time a little different? Most definitely. Here's another aspect. Walk, you know, when you walk and when you ride, that second card that you have, it's why you're running errands. Be intentional, be repetitive with your time. You know, praying for people as you ride down the road, because you're riding in your neighborhood and you see people that you know, and you know you need to pray for them as you're listening to the radio. I know I did this all the time with my kids. I'd let them pick the radio station when we were heading somewhere, but I picked the radio station when we were heading back. But while we were heading somewhere, I would listen and ask questions about the music that they were listening to. And then I would share with them what the message was in the music that I listened to, which was Christian music, obviously. But side by side, I put that in here very intentionally. One time, I got to share this with you. One time my son was not making some very wise choices with a young lady, with a girlfriend. This young lady wasn't the best match for him, and I knew it was going to be a difficult conversation. He's 15 years old. I knew this was going to be tough on him. It wasn't the easiest thing for me, but I knew I was going to say this. What I needed to say was important. And so I had him sitting beside me in my little black Ford Ranger truck. I was in the 10-2 position driving down the road, and I had a conversation with this young man because he needed to, and it wasn't Ashlyn, by the way, it was another young lady, and he needed to hear what I had to say. And I knew it was going to be tough on him, and so I knew looking at him in the eye would be too difficult. And so I wanted just to be real with him, and I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was going to listen, and he did. And that's why I married Ashlyn, by the way. Talking about God's creation as you ride down the road. What a beautiful state we live in. Seeds Family Worship. Let me see if I can get these guys to play for us here. Y'all ever heard of this group? Wrong, yeah. This group puts Christian biblical lyrics. I can't talk over this thing. But they put biblical lyrics to music. How many of y'all have Amazon Prime? Do you know that you have probably several hundred of their songs from Amazon Prime Music for free? Right at your fingertips. Go to the App Store, download Amazon Music, and then start surfing, and a lot of that music, that's where that came from. All that music is free if you're a Prime member, obviously. Here's the third card that you have in your hand, this upstairs, downstairs. As a matter of fact, that's my favorite of all the three cards, of all those cards that you have in your hand. Giving them a biblical blessing, Numbers chapter 6. I mean, sharing with your people how to give a blessing to their children. Just simply following what the passage says in Numbers 6. Devotion time, again, that was our rhythm. This was when we made our day slow down. Intentional. We were very intentional with it. Not 7 for 7, but we were striving. Singing, that's what my daughter does with Cassidy, the oldest foster grandchild that we have. She sings to her right before bedtime. Ask mom, ask dad. A friend of mine does this with his two boys. Oh, I love it because he'll say to his boys, okay, guys, bedtime. Ask daddy any question you want to. If it's about the Bible, I'll do my very best to answer it. And then it's bedtime. If it's not about the Bible, then I'll answer whatever question you have, and then I get to ask you a question. So guess what the game really turns out to be? Ask daddy about the Bible. But is he making a disciple in his kid? Yeah. Especially his oldest one. About a year ago, I got to see that dad baptize that oldest son. So yeah, it makes a difference. Under the stars. Another, again, just kind of like making the fort. You're just doing something different. Be creative. Not every single night, but do that something special. Excuse me when you get up. That's that fourth card there in that pack that you have. Wonderful opportunity to use breakfast time. By the way, I can send you this whole PowerPoint if you want it. So don't feel like you got to write down every little thing. Proverbs cards. Okay, Proverbs cards. This thing right here cost my wife $4. And she bought this for me for Christmas. I was in Cuba on a mission trip. And I was staying at the Southern Baptist Seminary in Havana. Did you know we had a Southern Baptist Seminary in Havana, Cuba? It was crazy. Well, the president invited me up every morning for breakfast because I needed to be fed. And I got a chance to have breakfast with his wife and his two children. His two children, one was in junior high, one was in elementary school. And we had a wonderful time of breakfast together. But right before they would get ready to go to school, they'd go and get, you know, brush their teeth, grab, get their book bags, whatever. And he'd walk over to a little table right beside their door. And he would pick up a box, kind of similar to this. And he would just say, here, pick a card. And in this box is verses from the book of Proverbs. And they would just pick one of the cards and they would read what the card said. And then he would just give maybe a sentence commentary. And then he would put his hand on his son, he'd put his hand on his daughter, and he would pray for their day as they were leaving out to go to school. Simple little things. That was their rhythm. That was just how that worked in their family. And it's not like these rhythms are always going to be permanent because, you know, in the summertime, that rhythm changes. Because their kids aren't going to school. So they find a different portion of a rhythm to be able to still be disciple makers of their children. Scripture memory, what a wonderful privilege we have to just memorize Scripture together. Top three, my son, I was a youth pastor and he was in my youth group, obviously. And I would always challenge about two or three times a year, I would challenge our students to pray for their lost friends. Just put their names on that little card, a top three card, and ask God every day. Say, God, give me an opportunity just to share something about you to one of these three people. And so my son, he was always very eager to do that. One night, we're sitting at home. It's a Saturday night, and we get a knock at the door. We lived in our neighborhood, and I go to the door, and Corey, one of my son's buddies, is standing at the door, and he said, "Hey, Mr. Smith, can I come in?" I said, "Yeah, man, come on in." Corey came to the youth group some. He was a bit of a wild child. He didn't know the Lord. He comes in, he sits down, and he says, "Hey, I just wanted to let y'all know I gave my life to Jesus Christ." And so we were just like, "What? This is awesome." My son pops up off the couch and runs to his room. I'm thinking, what in the world? He comes back. Guess what he's got in his hand? Because he'd been praying for Corey. So never underestimate the power of your kids' prayers. But you got to challenge them. You got to challenge them to do this stuff. You're praying for their day. And look at all these things with expectation. Because does God want to move in our children's lives? Well, when we are intentional and when we are repetitive with it, in our own home, as moms and dads, and when we start to share what these simple concepts are all about rhythm and about what God's Word has to say to us, can it happen? It can. But it takes some training of your families. Your parents need to have this training. And so I'll give you the PowerPoints. You train them. Call me up. I'll come help do it with you. I mean, whatever. I'm just saying it's time that we show our parents how well they can do this. Because these conversations need to take place in their lives because there's deep water sometimes that we got to get into. A friend of mine developed this, Ron Hunter. Sandcastles, snorkels, and scuba. Levels of communication with our between parents and children. Simply what this is, you know, you got the shoreline, so it's kind of level one. You know, you're out here about maybe waist deep in the ocean, and so you got level two. Then, you know, way over your head in level three. And so simply what this is kind of thinking about it this way. You have these little surfacey conversations. Well, you have those all the time. How's the weather? What's going on with school? Do you got homework? I mean, all this stuff. You got to talk about that. But it's having that open dialogue with your children. Because there's sometimes you got to get out here a little waist deep in some conversation. Hey, what's this about out here that somebody's not treating you right? Well, what's this that you've got this anger toward this person? What's this I see on your Twitter feed or your Facebook posts and all that? I'm concerned. So sometimes you got to get into those kind of conversations. But, you know, unless you're having meaningful shoreline conversations, sometimes those shallow conversations can be hard. So we got to teach our parents that both of these are important. But here's the third aspect of it. Sometimes you got to get into this deep conversation. Deep conversation like the 10-2 position about this young lady who was not a good influence in my son's life. And if I hadn't had these type of conversations with him prior, how well do you think this would have gone? So it's a both, well, a three and. It's all these together that helps your parents really communicate to them. Number one, your love for them. But number two, you want to share with them what God's love is for them. Because isn't it our privilege to lead our children to Christ? It's His desire that we be the primary disciple makers of our children. That's why He put those people in those homes. I'd like to share with you some friends of mine, Mark and Tracy Shanks, some wonderful godly people, and their son Carter. I want you just to listen to them just so you kind of know what goes on in their home. Take a look at this video.
We are Mark, Tracy, and Carter, and this is what disciple making looks like in our home.
Most of it is just in the course of our daily life.
The easy answer is we've always talked about it with him. We've talked about God. He's gone to church since he was a couple weeks old.
It means making sure that our son has a very strong faith. He became a Christian at a young age, and so just wanting to make sure that that carries through, that he keeps building on that faith throughout his life.
A lot of times after Sunday school or Wednesday night services, we'll talk about what he learned. And we also try and throw in some daily application. When we were outside weeding, we talked about sin, and Tracy tied it into how sin is like the weeds that we were pulling.
Your sin starts with one little like weed, and if you don't take care of that, then you're going to have the whole flower bed full of weeds like we did at our house. And then we were having to work really hard to pull those weeds out. Another thing that we do every day, or almost every day, is before we leave, particularly before school, we pray together as a family. We'll take turns. Some days I'll pray, some days Mark will pray, some days our son will pray.
The benefits of family discipleship I see is spending time with Carter, as well as with Tracy, and just sharing God with Carter. Spending time with him and teaching him the Bible and sharing the Bible with him has helped me, because it helps me to change my perception of things. Even though I'm teaching him, I'm also learning at that same time.
I think the key is just to stay with it, stay the course. There are a lot of things that we've tried that honestly we've started and then just it's kind of fallen through and stopped. Even when you feel like maybe you have failed, you've stopped, to just keep going, to pick back up again and keep going, because God is going to honor what you do for your children.
I'm going to put Kelly on the spot just for a second. She's the children minister of children at the very church that Mark and Tracy go to. Let me ask you a question. Are these real people?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they live out that from your perspective?
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. It's because they just see what God's Word has to say and they want to be obedient to it. But it wouldn't have happened if they weren't students of God's Word. So we've got to encourage our families to be students of God's Word, because my opinion, I think we need to flip this thing a bit upside down. Yeah, the church is important. Absolutely. And experiences, friends, absolutely. They're all in there too. But it all needs to be based on God's Word. To me, that's the bigger picture. Now, I've got just a few minutes left of your time. Just like to ask any questions of what I've covered. Some question that maybe you didn't quite, like, what in the world are you talking about, boy? I mean, that kind of thing. Yes, sir.
On the walk and ride that you gave us suggestions for, the first one was easy exterior.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Look, can I back up to it for you like that? There it is. Our Defender. It's those cards that you have.
The easy extender.
Exterior. Uh huh. That's the second one. Yeah.
Mark, do you have any resources for sequential, long-term discipleship, with like a holistic thing of this is what I really want my child to learn, like maybe through the Bible? Or
yeah.
What do you suggest?
Honestly, what I love to do is whenever I get that type of question, I want to know the context a little bit. Just to kind of maybe just to help you, though, there's something called disciple6.com. That was put out by a guy named Richard Ross, and that is a holistic Bible study, if you will, that it can be done in your church or it can be done at your house. And it picks up in about sixth grade. Now, with kids prior to that, I really encourage simple things like the Jesus Storybook Bible. Wonderful, wonderful resource. Excellent resource. And just to systematically go through those type of things. But here's really the key. Get your family into that rhythm of, okay, when does it work best for us? When we're sitting at home? Okay, good. Maybe it's when we go to bed, or maybe it's when we ride down the road. But nonetheless, letting your kids know that this is a regular thing that we do as a family. This isn't anything that's just kind of tacked on. You know, a lot of times you have families who will kind of maybe hear this type of presentation and just like, well, I haven't done this at all. Where in the world do I start? I said, tonight. And a lot of times here's their pushback. I don't have time. I'm like, yeah, you do. I've never been discipled myself. How am I supposed to do that? I'm like, good question. That's okay. Then go back up to verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. You read God's word, and then you turn around and teach what God just taught you. You'll be making a disciple. You'll be becoming one, and you'll be making one all in the same time. So to kind of back to your question, just taking God's word and systematically going through it.
I just, we took our grandkids through the Jesus Storybook Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Then they outgrew that.
Yep.
So I was looking for the next one.
Yeah.
Because they're like 10 and 11 now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I discovered they love comic books. Mm-hmm. Mm. And David C. Cook has put out the Action Bible.
Wow.
It's the whole Bible in comic book format.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave each of them one for Christmas.
Fantastic.
My grandson's already read half of it.
Wow.
And there's no way he would have read a Bible if I just had
That's right.
the Bible.
But That's
he
right.
He loves that thing.
Do y'all hear what Steve's talking about here? He was a student of his grandchild and knew what they would gravitate to, knew what their rhythm was. And their rhythm was a comic book, of all things. Can God use a comic book? Yeah, He can use anything. The question is, are we being students of our children and just implementing this rhythm? Thanks, Steve. Did I answer your question enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's a lot of pieces to that question. Yes, sir?
Could you speak to the fact of just how difficult ministry is and youth ministry without your parents doing this? You know what I mean? and just like how we can, either through you or if we feel inadequate to teach this, you know, maybe one lesson, how we can get them there, because you've already answered the question. They say they're busy.
Yeah.
And they're wanting
it. Yep.
We don't have time for that.
That's right. I lived in that world for a little over 20 years until God really had to jerk my chain and help me understand that I needed to get these parents on board. I had triple digits on a Wednesday night of kids coming into my youth group. And so God had to show me that that was my youth group as the youth pastor. But my ministry were those two little people that were eating my food, wearing my clothes that I bought them. That was my ministry. This was what God had called me to, this bunch of people. But my ministry this is where I started. I had to realize my ministry was really with Abby and Adam Smith. And then that thought started to resonate. You know what? This is my youth group. And so how am I going to grow them better? Because I can't, 150 plus people, I don't know how to do that. But now if I get some people trained up, who sees them more than I do, who loves them way better than I do, if I can train them up. So I started training the parents. And so our Sunday nights became, for about 4 years, Sunday nights for a little while, then we blossomed into some other things. But our goal was to train every parent in our congregation. That was the goal. I didn't hit them all. Got 70, maybe 80%, I don't know. But it started the process. So my goal was to make my youth group better. I had to challenge the parents. And I realized that because I needed that challenge. Yeah, ma'am.
Did you do this through offering classes?
I did.
Discipleship?
Yeah, yeah. I took them through a study on Sunday nights, was kind of what we started out with. Something called parental guidance. Matter of fact, I may have one here. If somebody can tell me that Hebrew word that means impress. Who said that? Who said Shanann? Raise your hand. Oh, there you go. All right, here you go. Here's the book I took them through. It's called Parental Guidance. A friend of mine wrote it. Yes, ma'am.
How do you, in our particular situation, we're having a lot of children come and parents don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
oh, yeah. That's the majority of churches.
To do discipleship with the parents.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
Is there a way to get mm-hmm. a connect?
Yep.
A stronger connect?
Yeah. My recommendation is, and you have to do this in seasons, but have a, you know, you got these all these kids coming, and they come without their parents, but have on a maybe a Wednesday night, a Sunday night, whatever kind of works in your context. You know your neighborhood, so just know what works best. But have, call it, hey, we're having a parent night, okay? Because if the school says we're having a parent night, what percentage do you think of those parents would come out?
Most.
So even the parents who aren't believers, they hear, okay, the church wants us to come because they're having this night, okay, something. And then when you get them there, you know, love on them, feed them something, I mean, whatever, but then also use that opportunity to train them, but also introduce them to the gospel at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
We do life groups at our church.
Yeah.
For small group study, and we're actually getting ready to start a new season.
Okay.
Of life groups. So this parental guidance book, is this uh-huh. a book you would suggest to start a family?
That's one of many.
Is there something else you recommend?
Yeah.
Because we have people with kids from birth to,
mm-hmm.
you know, high school age.
Yeah.
And we would just all be together. We wouldn't break it up. It would just uh-huh. be one group. Is this a good book to start with, or we should start with something else?
Well, I'm partial to it because I wrote it, but yeah. But I can get them to you at cost, okay?
Okay.
But that's what I did at Lakeview. That's where Kelly's serving now.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a start. And it's one of hundreds that are out there, honestly. So just look around, see what best fits in your context. That fit in my context because I was in the context. Let me get back to this page right here. Take a picture of that, okay? Because if you want me, there's my email, there's my cell number, okay? Call me. Because I want to partner with you. And again, I work for you. I work for the Baptist State Convention. The cooperative program is what pays my ability to be in this position. So all you got to do is just pick up the phone and give me a call. A couple more things real quick, and it's lunchtime, and I think lunch is directly below us, okay? So I think there's a stairway over here, and I know there's one if you head that way, but lunch is provided downstairs. If you would like those, you know, those four little resource cards that I gave you, I think there's six total in it and all. If you'd like some more information about where to get those, I got this right here, okay? And so just see me after we break off. If you're on staff at a church and you'd like to better understand how to take what we just talked about to another level, okay, that's what this book is about, and I'd like to give you one of those as well. All right, we are out of time. Matter of fact, I'm 4 minutes over, so please forgive me for taking too much time. Let's pray together. I'll be available so we can talk later. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for these people. God, bless them. Bless their ministries. But God, most of all, bless their families. And God, let the people that they share life with in their church, let them just see your hand at work in their homes so that, God, your name can be made great. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all so very much.